Good morning. Today is Wednesday, May. Yes, May the 20th. Joining us this morning will be St. Bernard's principal, Paul Shanahan. But before we get to that point, we have our Why Do We Say That? Round robin. This one's for everybody. It's waiting for Paul to call in on this one. Round robin. What's the reason a petition signed by a number of people is called a round robin? This is a thought time when people have a chance to think here. Okay. It's because such petitions were originally signed in a circle so that no name, no individual name, headed the list. The term is a corruption of the French word meaning a ribbon, a circle of signatures creating the impression of a round ribbon rather than a round robin. So there you go. Next time you have to sign a legal document, do it in a circle. They'll never know who you are.
So, Paul, as we're talking about some of the different challenges that are out there, not only for schools this time, you know, with the situations, but private schools also, when you're talking to folks up and down the coast that are in the similar situations, how's St. Bernard's doing in comparison or in contrast to other private high schools right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. We are really lucky. I mentioned it a couple weeks ago that, you know, the team here was getting ready early February, and with the size of the school and the relationship that teachers have with our parents and the kids, we've been able to navigate through some really tumultuous waters in a way that the kids feel supported, the parents feel supported. And one example of that, one adjustment we've made that some people aren't able to, but we've set up a virtual study hall. And so you have Mary Seeley, Catherine Scott, Ryan Bizio, just available to kids, and you can bring in, you know, 5-6 kids from different grade levels, and they're going through their work, and they're able to ask questions, get motivated, you know, get some words of support, connect with each other, connect with the teachers, because that's the one thing that, you know, we're really missing in this model is that interaction the kids are used to with caring adults. And so another layer, you know, you've got your teachers, and here you've got this virtual study hall you can step into. And there are places, again, I've got friends all the way up in Washington State, and one of their, you know, really affluent districts just got off the ground last week. You know, so that was just a ton of time. Kids were kind of in limbo, families were in limbo, and you know, they'll be okay, but it's been really, we've been blessed and lucky with our team here.
So you also have got the international component that is different this year also, not only because of the shelter in place and the lack of the interaction, but the composition also. Has that added to the spice, so to speak, as things have kind of evolved after the first of the year?
You know, I'd say, again, we've been lucky. You know, I was able to communicate with our international families and say, hey, you know, from what it looks like, from what the governor's telling us, remote learning is going to be the way. And so I have no problem with your students being home with you in Vietnam or home with you in Korea in studying. You know, we'll work around the time zone changes. And that way a lot of our kids were able to get home before, you know, travel got impacted. And they were successfully able to go through quarantine when they got home. You know, no one was carrying the virus back. The Vietnamese kids had it the toughest. They were placed with hundreds and hundreds of other people coming into the country in this closed university. They reopened a university and had them in the dormitories. So kind of like a bunker prison type situation for 14 days. It became a little bit longer than 14 days as they wanted to make sure everyone was tested before they got out of there. And then for the kids that have stayed, you know, we do have some students that have stayed saying, you know, it might be hard to get back for fall next year, depending on how travel plays out. And so we have a great team here on site, and so it's just treated like one large family. You know, they're just a family unit. You know, they eat together and they study, play in a lot of chess. Chess has been taken off, but like everyone else here in Humboldt and across the state, you know, it is difficult to be sheltering in place for yet another week.
Yeah, it's certainly, that would make a lot of sense. The time zone factor, that's got to be a bit of a challenge for staff and for everybody trying to kind of keep that fluidity going. Is it as challenging as what it seems like it would be?
You know, Brian, here's a little secret about international and many a teenager. They stay up late. I don't know if you knew this, but 17 and 18 year olds tend to stay up later than us middle-aged men. So in fact, that hasn't been as big of an impact because they tend to be awake at times when you and I would be sleeping. We accommodate. I shifted one of my seminars. We meet at 4 in the afternoon instead of at 12 in the afternoon, so that a Korean member of that seminar can hop on pretty easily. So, yeah, we've made some adjustments, and a lot of it is, you know, assignments that are laid out that you can work on independently any time of the day, and then, you know, turn those in and then meet with the teacher.
So you weren't having to adjust to teaching at nighttime. That's what my fear was.
No, it's the opposite. They're up. The kids are up.
Yeah. Video games just have to be played during.
You know, I didn't mention video games, Brian. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you mean.
Yeah. Teenage kids, okay, no video games. Yeah. Quite an interesting scenario you're playing out there. Has this opportunity given you the chance also to get into the physical of the school a little bit and to do some changes there that you might not have been able to until summertime, or maybe longer projects being condensed into a tighter time frame?
Yeah, we're trying to be cognizant of what's essential and what's not essential. And as an essential business, we're able to run an admin team that runs the business side of the school, and our custodians can, of course, you know, clean and do a little painting and some waxing. But you know, we're not bringing in additional contractors at this time. Just cognizant of, okay, you know, what level of exposure do we really want or need? So yeah, that's a good question. We were looking at a double locker room, girls and boys remodel, and had the plans and had the money and had the momentum, and we just, you know, decided, you know, we're just going to put a pause on that and we'll wait and see, let things settle out a little bit.
Yeah, I'll wait for everybody to get there so you can disrupt everybody in one shot. I get it. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Shanahan from St. Bernard's. Paul, some of the different challenges, you know, during summertime is trying to coordinate some of the projects with the kids and the athletic schedules and things of that nature. St. Bernard's is in a pretty visible location, and you've got the field that's out there, the football, baseball area. Are there any hopes of being able to either have community be able to use that, or to be able to upgrade that facility during this period of time when things are a little bit, less being used, but you do have the opportunity to get the landscapers and the contractors and folks like that might not be otherwise engaged to be able to get out there and do some of these projects?
That's a good question. We have some parent volunteers and a team that have been, that field right now looks like you could host a World Series game on it. I mean, it's one of the best fields in the county because it's green well.
You could host a World Series game in your backyard right now because there's no games going on. So that's really
reference. Come on. Right. So, to your question, though, here's ideally, as we start stepping back some of the restrictions, they will allow for small groups to gather. that aren't from the same household. And so I see scheduling those small groups, you know, all through the daylight hours. And it'll be our kids. You know, our kids are just dying to get out there, whether, you know, running some football routes or you know, shagging fly balls. I mean, we want to get the kids. And the NCS, CIF, you know, there are all kinds of rules in place to monitor that we don't overwork our kids, you know, in season of sport. But hopefully we'll be able to get kids out there and with coaches or without, depending on what the section rules, sometime this summer. You know, LA Unified has already announced that they will have zero summertime activities on their sites, zero. And so our hope, of course, being up here a little bit more remote, much more rural, that we can get on those fields and use the facilities with the kids.
Yeah, I was going to ask whether or not the NCS has got any specific mandates or requirements or restrictions, not on the ongoing basis, but in this particular environment, either allowing right. for or saying something different or maybe relaxing some of the rules so that the you know, kids can kind of get out and at least you know, run around a little bit.
Yeah, I'll give you one example. There's a rule that says a coach can't contact the team more than three times outside the season of sport. Well, they've relaxed that rule if the coaches are working on the mental health and the overall physical health of their kids rather than, you know, taking advantage and trying to get an advantage. You know, you know how that goes. But so there is this sense that, you know what, in this global pandemic, the more adults that care about our kids that are stuck at home suffering, you know, they're getting contacted and support, that's okay. But as far as the section goes and the state goes for sports, high school sports, it's a lot of questions. It's a long list of questions that don't have answers yet.
Yeah, and I suppose that's one of the biggest things is, at this point, intent is probably going to be the overriding thing rather than the actual letter of the law, so to speak.
Right. Right. And again, you want these, so much of success is predicated on preparation. And so much of what our coaches do all across this county is prepare kids, give them the fundamentals to play in a healthy, safe, and successful manner. And, you know, a lot of that's being lost. You know, think about the Little League kids. You know, that nothing like being 12 years old and playing Majors Little League, right? You're like a superhero, and those kids aren't able to get those swings in right now. Same with your senior baseball players and senior track athletes. You know, you're just as strong as you've ever been, and you're not getting a chance to swing that bat or get that new personal best on the 400.
Yeah, I know that was a big issue for both of us when we were.
Hey, we're on the radio. They just because
yeah.
The one triathlon I ran with a bunch of friends, you know, they were all well prepared for it. I was not. But turned out I was in the top three under the Clydesdale category.
That would be
so. Yeah, you and I,
on your back,
you and I are a couple Clydesdales, Ryan, and that's fine.
Has there been any thought to allowing the community to access the field? I mean, you mentioned Little Leagues and certainly your softball and things like that, just to have the facility used or to let the kids, you know, be able to do some of the normal stuff that would have been happening this time or even last month?
You know, I think we're just trying to play it safe right now until they relax, you know, because you just can't monitor the interactions between non-household community members getting together. It's one thing to be walking down O Street and you can cross the other side of the street. It's another thing to have your field open and have 7, 8, 9 households getting together, and you know you're not necessarily going to be able to maintain social distancing even though you're outside. So yeah, I think we are blessed, you know, with Redwood Fields and with our Highland Parks and whatnot, the beaches, to get people outside eventually. But for now, you know, I've had to move a couple of groups off early on. You know, early on, people weren't really taking it seriously and say, you know what, I know you really want to play, but this is not the time. This is not the time.
Right. yeah, and it's tough to dampen enthusiasm.
I mean, you know how great our kids are in this community. You know, that's great. And then how nice has this weather been? And this is baseball weather. This is track meet weather. It's fantastic weather. We're kind of stuck in our neighborhoods.
So you won't be out there with your 9-iron then, either?
Okay, I use my 9-iron to defend my family when necessary. That's about all my 9-iron is good for.
You have
you don't want to be on the course with me. You don't want to be
Fair enough, fair enough. KIS, News and Information, Diamond Tapered.
Hi, this is Brian Papstein. This afternoon, Humboldt County Health Officer Teresa Fankovic is having a press conference and will be announcing the formalization of our current practices, formerly referenced as shelter in place. What does this mean? How does it impact you? Find out as we will be talking with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel this afternoon. Stay tuned here in the 4 o'clock hour. You'll be able to hear that interview in its entirety, and we'll have it on our website later this afternoon.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with President, Principal, and Head School Marm. How's that?
Ooh. I like it. Every boy's dream. Every boy's dream.
Bullshit. Yeah. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Paul, during the challenges that are going on, and I guess that's what it would be kind of broad brush referenced as, what are some of the upgrades that you've done that really might have a legacy into the future? You mentioned some of the virtual learning stuff. Is that opening doors or at least generating new thoughts and ideas about what might be down the road?
Good question. I think, let's take Khan Academy as an example. It's well-respected, used in many districts and by many kids, millions of kids. And sitting with my son, who he's a freshman, but he's accelerated up to Algebra 2, and he's working with multiplicity and polynomials, and he's got a question. He comes to me right with a question, but I know Khan Academy. I said, well, what did he say? Let's watch that video again. He's like, well, I get it. I watched the video. I go, well, no, because you don't know the answer. He's like, well, it's not the same as the video. I go, that's great. That means he's asking you to think a little bit. So let's go back and watch it again. And my point to your question is, I think there's some training of our kids right now that, one and done doesn't work. Often it's, you got to go back a second or a third time. And that's, if you're a literature major, a history major, you're an engineering major, one and done doesn't work as well as going back. And, when you write that essay, read through it afterwards before you submit it. So I think there's some independent skills that hopefully are happening where folks have that opportunity with these web tools to go back. And IXL is another example of that where, they give you feedback immediately when you answer the question wrong. Well, okay, great. Now I know. Now they show me what I did wrong. Well, now I get to practice it and I get it right. Those are the types of things that can benefit someone as a supplement, right? As a supplement. The teacher comes first. The teacher's the rock star. The teacher's the heart, the soul, the brain for the kids. But these devices, applications, websites are all great supplements.
So as you are considering now the extended period with this, are there new pieces of hardware or software that you're looking for that would have made it easier or at least given you the opportunity in the future to be able to do some things that you've not been able to do?
If you had the, and again, I think it's not that far away, but the Oculus Rift, the VR headset. So imagine you've got a whole class, they're all in their different homes, they just slip on their headset and bam, they're right in the classroom with the teacher. That would be an easier way to communicate and learn because it's so much like what they've done versus a Zoom screen with a teacher's voice and a slideshow, the actual be 3D in the classroom or 3D on a field trip right in your own home would be, it's not that far away. So if that's one thing I could see happening again pretty easily. The technology's there. The games they're creating are really immersive. And, you know, so why not be immersive into the classroom? Why not be immersive into a part of history? Why not be immersive into a bridge that you're designing? Why not be immersive, you know, as you go through the pyramids or walk through New York City or see a Broadway show?
Yeah, well, and then you don't have to worry about jet lag that way either.
And you know, that's, think about the amount of time we're saving on travel. You know, as I've looked at some of my meetings, it's been, okay, do I stay home, have the meeting here, and have an extra 15 minutes of prep, or do I travel for 15 and, you know, do the meeting in the office? Well, you can go either way, and that, I think that has added a lot of kind of breathing room and made some room for thought and development of ideas, because we're, you know, then again, it's always nice to have a little carpool, be in your head, be in your car, but as many of the folks in Humboldt know, our commutes are not that long. Thankfully, we're not stuck in traffic as my brother was going to Starbucks headquarters for 90 minutes each way.
Oh, that just doesn't. That just sounds yuck.
Yeah, yuck.
No, another technical term there. Here you go. You can use that one anytime you feel like it.
Well, I'll go. It'll be my go-to word.
There you go. Yeah. Speaking of going, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:41. We will, however, return with more from Paul Shanahan.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Shanahan. Paul, this is normally the time of the year we're talking about graduations and where the kids are going and all that kind of stuff. So let's talk about graduation. What kind of a scenario or options or flexibility do you have for this year's graduating class?
Yeah, good question. The students have been universal in their response and to me, and that's been, Mr. Shanahan, we want it to be as traditional as possible. You know, online we've seen a slew of people with the driving around in cars and honking horns, and, you know, they've done the best that they can. But our kids are, you know what, if we have to wait deep into summer, late summer, early fall, let's wait and do it as close to traditionally as we can. We might, you know, we've been in Sacred Heart Church, St. Bernard's Church, and we've been in the Crusader Gymnasium the last couple of years. And you look out at the Crusader football field, you know, with a graduating class of 52 kids, you could spread folks out, you know, and bump up the PA and run a nice ceremony if allowed. You know, again, we're going to be following, as the county told us, we'll be following what the state directs. And so if we're allowed to do that with social distancing, we will do that sooner rather than later. But if we have to wait, then we'll wait, and then we'll do it right by those kids.
So if you were to delay, how late do you delay? And what would be the line drawn? Or would you, you know, possibly do it September, October, when the kids are off to whatever they're doing, and have everybody do another one of the, you know, like a Zoom meeting kind of thing?
Right. I think the answer is that if we have to delay till September or October, then those kids aren't going off to college. They're remote learning from home. You know, they're starting college from home, so they would be available when the rules are relaxed a little bit, if that makes sense, right? If they're able to go back into classes at university, then likely we're going to be able to hold a summertime graduation. But that said, you're right. We don't know the answer. We don't know if a second wave is going to hit. We don't know. Again, listening to our experts talk, you know, as we relax, we know that we'll be spiking, and we don't know how that'll impact. So we're going to be safe. We're going to be sane. And we're going to find a way to honor these amazing seniors that have lost quite a bit this spring.
So where are some of the cool schools that they're going to?
Oh, wow. That's another issue, Brian, is because, you know, you get accepted to these schools and spring break comes and you get to go visit. You know, it's like you get down to two great colleges and you haven't had a chance to go, and you can go walk and talk to the kids, and that was taken away. But to answer your question, you know, the UCs are really a dominating place, you know, the top tough spot for us. Kids going to UCLA, UC Davis, Cal Poly, UC San Diego, Humboldt State, of course, CR, of course, a little bit of the East Coast, Florida, Texas. You know, for a small group, we do spread out across the country pretty good. I think we've got a couple Midwest schools and Oregon. We've got OIT, and then we've a little different this year. We as people know, a lot of strong local high school kids here that are going to go play some JV football, JV baseball, JC. You know, at Shasta, Santa Rosa, CR, et cetera. So that's going to be their first 2 years, looking to play a sport for 4 years somewhere.
So where's the most exotic?
The most exotic. I think Cole's headed to the Naval Academy via a prep school, so that's kind of an exotic route. The Naval Academy said yes, but hey, do this stuff along the way, and I think that's kind of an exotic route, giving up your time to our country. And then we've got two straight to the military kiddos. Usually we'll average about one. We're going with two. John Ritz and Harmon Daniel are both going to go right in to the armed services for us. That's pretty exotic, right? You're boot camp in the Marines, and next thing you know, you're in the Middle East. So that takes you around the world.
I think I would prefer something like the Air Force.
I don't think, again, let's go back to the Clydesdale. I think you and I were both sized out of being a pilot, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Air Force has taken us.
Yeah, that NASA thing just kind of disappeared really quickly, didn't it?
Yeah. You want us to triple our budget so we can fit you into a capsule?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Or do you want to be in the Saturn rocket at the other end?
No.
I don't need to be sweeping up the floor. No, that's okay. Thank you.
No. Not that you don't have the brains to be, you know, behind the scenes doing calculations, Brian. Of course you could. You can give them some of the historical background. It'd be great.
Yeah, maybe I could run the space in the museum.
Yeah, you need good people in the museum, right?
There you go. All righty, bud. Well, thanks for coming by and bringing us up to speed.
Well, thanks for taking the time, Brian, and good luck to you recovering from your surgery.
Thank you, sir. See you later, Mom.